From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. On our program on this day 1 year ago, we said that the markets seemed happy. That's after the government had taken over, as we said, rescued the mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. But if you follow the jagged line of the markets from that point, it falls right off a cliff.
We begin this hour with Secretary of the Treasury Timothy Geithner. 1 year ago, he was already in the middle of the fray as head of the New York Federal Reserve. Secretary Geithner joins us from the campus of Syracuse University in upstate New York. Welcome to the program once again.
Thank you, Robert.
You have written about excessive leverage that almost brought down the global financial system. President Obama recently credited Fed Chair Bernanke with helping avert a second Great Depression. Those are descriptions of a huge crisis, but sometimes the government's remedies seem to be more quantitative readjustments than restructuring the system. Are the remedies of this administration up to what the ailment is?
Well, you know, our first job, Robert, was to avert a Great Depression and to repair a deeply damaged financial system and try to get the economy growing again. Nothing was possible without that. But we are going to have to make sure we come out of this with a stronger financial system that's less vulnerable to future crises, does a better job of protecting consumers, so that we reduce the risk we ever again face of something of this severity. And that's not something we can leave to the market to do on its own. It's going to require comprehensive changes in the basic rules of the game. And that's why the president went to Congress so early and to call for fundamental reform.
Comprehensive changes in the basic rules of the game. What will fundamentally be different about banking in the next decade that will prevent a recurrence of what happened?
Well, again, we're focusing on two really important things. And these things require the Congress to legislate. The first is to provide much stronger protection for consumers, so they're less vulnerable to people steering into products they can't afford. That's fundamentally important. And we had, for the first time in generations, basic failures in consumer protection themselves contribute to a big financial crisis. But the second most important thing we need to do is to make this system more stable, more resilient, less prone to shocks, less vulnerable. And that's going to require much stronger constraints on leverage, applied more broadly, both in the United States and internationally, enforced more strongly, so that we have a system that's, again, less vulnerable to failure, and we can't be held hostage again by the mistakes that individual firms make.
By which you mean that banks that are lending have to, frankly, have more money in the bank.
They have to set more money aside against the possibility that things don't turn out so well.
Now, on your first point, as you say, there was a failure of consumer protection, and yet one important agency regulating the economy, the Federal Reserve, now seen as having failed the consumer very greatly, is now to be made the systemic risk regulator, the central body regulating the industry. Some would say they're being rewarded for their failure.
Actually, what we're proposing to do is to take away not just from the Fed, but from the other people who are responsible for enforcing consumer protections, take away that authority and put it in a new agency with a single purpose and a single mission, which is better protect consumers. Now, we are proposing, though, as part of that, to change the system of responsibility for, again, protecting, making the system more stable. And that's going to require making sure that there's somebody who's competent to supervise these big institutions. And we don't believe there's any institution better equipped to do that than the Fed.
At the London meeting of finance ministers, you were described as emphasizing higher capital requirements that you've been talking about, but also as resisting controls on bankers' compensation. Why should that be either or? Why not both higher capital requirements to reduce leverage and also some kind of restraint on bonuses or pay that's so big that they might encourage bankers to take unwise risks?
You're exactly right. You need to do both. It's not a question of capital requirements as a substitute for compensation reforms. You need to have both, because if you don't fix the compensation system, then you're going to have people still incented to take too much risk, undermining the checks and balances that strong capital requirements can provide.
Well, did the reports of you arguing about this with the French and the Germans, did they have it wrong?
They did. They fundamentally had it wrong in the sense that we moved earlier, really ahead of any other serious country, to propose sweeping changes to compensation practice. The House of Representatives Congress has already legislated conditions on compensation for firms that take money from the government. And the House of Representatives passed just before the August break very important new changes that would apply to all banks, not just those that take money from the government. Now, what we don't think we can do, Robert, is to have the government come in and set compensation limits for individual firms and individuals in those firms. We think that would be a mistake, but what we do need to do is to make sure that we're ending the practice of excess bonuses not tied to risk. We want to make sure that that pay can be clawed back if risks materialize and that we're not rewarding failure.
I want to read you something that the New York Times columnist, economist Paul Krugman, wrote last month, and I'd like to hear your answer to it. He wrote this: "The Obama administration still seems to operate on the principle that what's good for Wall Street is good for America. Neither the administration nor our political system in general is ready to face up to the fact that we've become a society in which the big bucks go to bad actors, a society that lavishly rewards those who make us poorer."
I think that we are having a tremendous fight on the Hill to bring about comprehensive reform, in part because we are proposing to do things that the financial community finds inimical to their interests. And we think that's necessary for the broader interests of the economy. And what the president proposed in terms of reform is the most sweeping set of reforms that would offer the prospect of the biggest changes in the basic rules of the game than we've contemplated as a country in decades. And that's why this is such a big fight, and you're finding really quite substantial resistance already, despite the fact that this crisis caused so much damage, and the memory is still so acute of the damage that caused. And I think that, again, we can't afford to let the financial system go back to where it was in the peak of the boom. That would be a terrible mistake, and we're not going to make that mistake.
And reflecting on the events of this past year, for you both at the New York Fed and then later at the Treasury, are there decisions that you regret, and are there any that you'll mention that you regret? In particular, any regrets about the government not improvising some way to keep Lehman Brothers afloat rather than inspire such a global loss of confidence?
Well, let's do Lehman specifically first, then do the broader thing. In the Lehman context, because the government of the United States did not have broad authority to, for example, put capital into financial institutions or to manage their failure in a more orderly process, we were left with no good options for Lehman in the absence of a willing buyer. And there was no willing buyer because Lehman had gotten itself in the position where it was short of capital. But the main lesson of this period was that the governments around the world waited too long to escalate. They let the crisis build too much force and momentum. And it would have taken the kind of dramatic, powerful response that we ultimately mobilized in January to help arrest the crisis and bring some stability, beginning as part of recovery. So the basic lesson is, and this is the lesson of financial crisis over all time, is that you need to move early with a lot of force if you're going to contain the damage these things cause. And if you don't do it, then you're going to court a disaster. And you can see huge amount of damage that was avoidable. And the damage is, it's basically unfair because it affects people who are very conservative, responsible in their financial decisions, and bear no responsibility for the crisis itself.
Secretary Geithner, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
It's Timothy Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, speaking to us from Syracuse, New York, where he was taking part in an event today at Syracuse University.